this church. It is a privilege to be here this morning. My name is David Spurgeon, and so we'll just, that's where you want that, right there? You want me? You sure? Who can't hear me? Okay. Amen. All right. Let me see if I can figure this out. Okay. Without breaking something, because you guys probably sent me the bill. And that's why I got to keep moving every week. Amen. All right. My name is Dave Spurgeon. I'm an evangelist out of Charity Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio. And it is a privilege to be here. We were here last year for a revival. I had a good time. Some of you came back today, so I guess somebody else had a good time. The difference between this year and last year, my wife's with me. I'd like her to stand, because why should I get all the attention just myself? Stand up. I call her Mrs. Wonderful. And if you had to live in a motorhome with David Spurgeon for 15 years, you'd understand why I call her that. Her name is Susan. And last year, at the last minute, our plans changed. Our daughter went into emergency surgery to deliver our newest grandchild, who just turned one.
Amen.
And when one of them kids has a baby, I leave her at home to spend a couple weeks with them. And she eventually flew out to Arizona and caught up with me a week or so after I left here last year. But I'm glad that she's here with me this year, this trip, and Lord willing, next year. It is a privilege to be here. I thank you for this. Take your Bible this morning and go to Acts chapter 17. I really appreciate the Sunday school lesson that we had today. Amen. I tell you what, I got saved. I was almost 38 years old. I remember standing in a church and the 5-6-year-olds were talking about Bible stories, and I realized I was the dumbest person in the church. There were people that had spent any time in the Bible knew so much more than I did, and that was unacceptable. So I shut my mouth, and I opened my Bible, and I came to church, and I came to every service I could, including Sunday school, and I'm not real smart now, but I learned some things, and I believe it's important, and I'll tell you what, it was worth my while today to be in that in the Sunday school hour. So what are you doing? I'm plugging it, man. Try to make it for that if you can. It's important. We're not just punching a clock here and saying, well, I did my little duty. There might be people doing that in this city, but that's not what Bible Christianity is about.
Amen.
It's about drawing nigh to God. Amen. And so I appreciate that. And Acts chapter 17, we're going to begin reading in verse 16 this morning. It says this, Acts 17 and verse 16, Paul writes, or Paul didn't write it, but he's the subject of it. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. It's a good thing for your spirit to be stirred, and it says what the cause of it was, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Amen. That's the state of the city, the state of the county, the state of the nation. We are almost there, beloved. If you went up in that thing, well, I don't know, Tower of the Americas, Space Needle, I don't know what you call it. I saw it coming in yesterday on whatever road it was, I-10. I looked at that. If you got up in that thing tomorrow morning and stood there until it did a full 360 degrees, you could look down and you could see a city highly, if not wholly, given to idolatry. That's just the way it is. And it ought to do for you and I what it did for Paul. It ought to stir our spirit within us. That stirs something within us oftentimes. It stirs some need to just point fingers and judge it. And I'll tell you what, it'd be better off. And some of you are better off today. You're a Christian today because somewhere along the way, somebody observed you and their spirit was stirred and they shared with you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and now you're a Christian. And now when we open the Word of Life and look at these words, it means something to you. It's not just a book anymore.
Right.
That's not what I'm preaching, but how do you get past the passage without seeing that? I don't know. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. There's the religious crowd. Amen. He's talking to them. They need the truth too. And then it says, and in the market daily, but with them that met with him. He didn't just stay in the church house. He took the Word of God. He took the truth of Jesus Christ out there. Amen. Where people were. That's a great example for us. It says then certain, verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? That's what they say. You go out on the street preaching, you go out door to door and you try to tell people what the Bible says about their soul. And that's why it's referred to in 1 Corinthians 1, the foolishness of preaching. Amen. They think we're out of our minds. We're the ones, amen, that probably, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? And it goes on and says, others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them, look what it says, Jesus. Yeah, it says, he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. He didn't go out there with a laundry list of everything they were doing wrong. And they were doing a lot of things wrong. They were doing things that were going to damn their eternal soul to hell. And Paul knew that, but he knew that if he's going to get to them, it would be better to spend some time telling about somebody that did everything right instead of attacking them. That's the same method that the Ethiopian eunuch used in chapter 8. The Bible says when he dealt with that guy, he preached unto him Jesus. This world doesn't need to know your opinion or mine. This world needs to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's good preaching right there. I'll amen myself if you don't help me. Amen. Verse 19, it says, and they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. They're curious people. It says in verse 21, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else. In nothing else. That's a strange phrase to me. Amen. But either to tell or to hear some new thing. They had to go to a place in the city where they'd all gather around and just what it says, see or hear some new thing. Boy, these days, think of all the labor-saving devices that we have that give us so much more time. Amen. Like Brother Tebow talked about this morning, we've got so much more time on our hands, we're busier than ever. Amen. What these folks would have had so much more time if they could have just did what people do these days. They didn't have to go to a part of the city. They could just get on Facebook. Because that's what it is. See and hear some new thing back and forth. Listen, I have a hard time keeping up with my own business. I'm glad I don't try to keep up with everybody else. Hold on a second. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon. Okay, good. I'm ready to go on now. Amen. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Amen. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You've got some intelligent men, learned men, religious men, amen, gathering at this place, I mean, not once a week, man, daily, amen. And what are they doing? Well, the Bible says they're worshiping. They're worshiping ignorantly, but the Bible says they're worshiping, and Paul took the opportunity to declare the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what they needed. That's what you needed.
Amen.
That's what I needed. Boy, that's what this lost and dying world needs. And if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, I'm not talking about a church member. I'm not talking about a good person. I hope you are. But if you're in here and you're not saved, amen, that's what you need. That's the number one need that every human being has, to have their sins forgiven, amen, once and for all. And there's a lot that follows, but that's ground floor.
Amen.
And if you build without that as your foundation, it's going to crumble in the end.
Amen.
Amen. Truth of the matter is, mankind, as a race, human race, right, is incurably religious. And people have always worshipped something. You've got missionaries in some parts of the world. I've seen a lot of missionary presentations. I'm talking about from deepest, darkest Africa to Southeast Asia. Amen. Around the world, people worship stuff. Amen. Some places it's volcanoes. Some places it could be a number of things. The sun, the moon, but mankind is religious. Amen. And it wasn't until the Enlightened Age, I'll call it that, Enlightened Age of Advanced Education, which basically is around the mid-1800s, did it become popular, fashionable, to deny, altogether, to deny the existence of a divine creator. I mean, like I say, throughout history, people have worshipped the wrong thing, but they had enough sense to know they came from somewhere. And then old Darwin came along, a bunch of other people too smart for their own good, and they just decided, listen, I checked my family tree, there's no monkeys on it, okay? Yeah, there's some rascals, but no monkeys, amen. And so listen, man is incurably religious, don't get me wrong, this thing that's an atheist, oh come on, there's no atheists in hell today. I guarantee you that. But this thing about denying the existence of God, like I said, it became popular about 150 years ago, but it wasn't new. It's always been that way. There's always been people like that, but before Darwin, they were just called fools. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 14 and 53 both. The fool hath said in his heart, amen, there is no God. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. Today, what day is it? Is it morning? It's morning. I want to talk to you, I want to preach to you for a little while on this thought about worshiping the Lord, the right God, the true God. Amen. Would that be all right? Let's just lift him up this morning for a little bit and praise the Lord. Get something that'll help us in the year to come. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, I love you. I thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you for the liberty here. I pray for the ability to say what you want said and leave the rest alone. And Lord God, there's needs in here today, and we all need to get closer to you. We all need to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, that's why we're here. And Lord God, if there's anybody in here that's not saved, I pray you make it easy for them to see that's the most important need they have. And Lord, I just love you and pray that you'd anoint the message and most of all that you'd be pleased with it. You deserve to get a blessing from us. We sure need you. But God, what a blessing it would be if we would draw nigh to you today. Father, I pray these things in the magnificent name of my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're talking about worship this morning. Let me begin with an illustration. Now, some of you know my background a little bit. I got saved at almost 38 years old. I was in motorcycle gangs and all kinds of a mess for a long time. I got saved in jail on my way to prison. That's what God had to do to slow me down enough, put me in a place where I'd shut up long enough for somebody to tell me I had bigger problems than the problems I thought I had. And a preacher came in and says, I don't know what you're in jail for, but if you die in your sin, you're going to end up in hell. I thought to myself, thanks. Great. That cheered me up. Wonderful. I'm looking at this federal drug and weapons charge. I'm looking at spending all this time in prison, and now you're telling me that's nothing? I'm going to hell too? I'll tell you what, I didn't like it. I didn't like that message. I didn't like that preacher. I didn't like his haircut. I didn't like anything about him. But I'm going to tell you something. I sure do appreciate God sending somebody to me that had the guts to tell me the truth.
Amen.
That book said you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. I'll tell you what's wrong with America. It's been lied to by politicians, amen, by Hollywood, and by religion for so many centuries. Now nobody knows what the truth is. I'm glad today that we still have the truth in the inspired Word of God today. I'm talking about the King James Bible, amen. We're on the same page there, amen. I got preaching in evangelism full time back in the late 90s and we were up in Pennsylvania preaching and a guy come in on a motorcycle, nice looking motorcycle, kind of like Troy's, real nice, pretty bike, sounded good, and the guy got off and I was outside by my bus and he got off, he's got big arms and sleeveless shirt and a leather jacket, got the bald head, amen, and everything looking real serious and everything. I was impressed. I mean, you know, come on, duh. And but he comes into the church. He's got the vest on, and it was a small church, maybe this big, maybe not. And he's sitting in the second row, and he's been invited, and he's looking at me, and I started preaching, and I don't know anything about the guy. And in the course of the message, you know, in my nice, compassionate way, I said something like, you know, some of you got in on the best God had to offer, and somewhere along the way, somebody offended you, like we heard about today, and said something you didn't like, and you got offended, and you got mad, and you've been sucking your thumb and having a pity party for yourself ever since, and you need to get right with God and get back out there and try to reach some people for God. And this guy is not happy about what I just said. And he's looking right at me. I mean, well, I'm the preacher, but I mean, he's right there, so I'm looking right at him when I'm saying it. Amen. And so he kind of looked upset, and everybody, we went outside, and service got over, and the guy that invited him, he kind of intercepted me. He says, oh, man, you know what you did. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that's exactly what happened. This guy got saved, and some preacher said something he didn't like, did something wrong, and he hadn't been in church, and I finally got him to church because you used to be a biker, and now he's probably mad. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I just figured God knows how to get a person's attention. I mean, I don't go out of my way to offend anybody. Amen. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't respond to that. I don't do that. But I was telling the truth. Boy, we go out. There he is, right there at the door of the bus. He's got that look. And I went, oh, here we go. He looked at me and he says, you were talking to me, weren't you? And I said, pal, I don't even know you, but if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. And I kind of got ready. Amen. And he did. He reached out real fast, and he grabbed me, and he hugged me. I'm not a big hugger, okay? I mean, I'm just... But you know what he said? He said, thank you. He said, nobody's ever had the guts to look me in the eye and tell me the truth before. Amen. And then he did this. He reached into his pocket, and he pulled out his keys and said, take my bike. Take my bike for a ride. That's how happy he was. That's pretty happy there. Troy's never even done that. Amen. Now look here. It is a beautiful, beautiful June afternoon in northern Pennsylvania. I hadn't been on a Harley-Davidson in over 8 years. That was something God told me to get away from, and I sold my bikes. My Corvette, I sold all that stuff, got in church, got in the Bible, got called to preach, no regrets, never went back. Amen. Never got on a motorcycle again. Amen. This day I said, okay, I grabbed them keys. Maybe because I saw my life starting to flash before my eyes. This guy's pretty big. And Lord gave me peace about it. And I looked at my wife and I said, come on, let's go for a ride. She looked at me like I was out of my mind. My wife had never been on a motorcycle. My wife was raised up in a little Catholic family in northern Ohio, 8 brothers and sisters. Her parents were very caring and loving, and her dad told her at a young age, don't you ever get on the back of a motorcycle with one of them idiots. And she's 45 years old by now, and she never been on one. But, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to obey your husband. But we use that when it's convenient. We skip the mother parts. That's another message. So my wife proved that you can ride a motorcycle modestly with a dress on, but I got news for you. I had a necktie on that day. I'll explain that what those are next year when I come. And that I tell you what, that thing will beat you to death about 40 miles an hour. So take that off. Here it's a nice bike, new bike, beautiful bike, and I get out on this beautiful 2-lane road. It's nice, beautiful weather. And my wife, she's nervous, but she's back there. She's sitting back there. And I hadn't been on one a long time. And I used to ride quite a bit. And for the next thing, I start doing this thing in and out the white lines, you know, leaning it over pretty good. And I guess she started screaming. That's one of the neat things about a motorcycle. You can't hear the passenger screaming. Yeah. Those things where you have a helmet and a microphone where you can talk, that defeats all purpose. Amen. Yeah. So anyway, I realized she was trying to get my attention when I felt her fingernail digging, and I said, "Why? I think I'm bleeding," you know. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she is screaming, you know. And I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, be cool. She's never ridden before, never will again at this rate." And I calmed down for a couple minutes and just enjoying the ride. And then I don't know what possessed me. That's probably an accurate word to use too. I stood up on the footboards. I stood up, and because she couldn't reach me with those claws. I stood up, and not only that, it was balanced really well, and I just took my hands off the handlebars and put them straight out. And I'm going down the road about 35 miles an hour, and she's back there getting ready to have a heart attack, and I'm just like really enjoying this very stable platform. I'm analyzing it, you know, from a engineer standpoint of view, which I'm not. When I sat back down, I got an earful. If I could have hurt her, she probably would have. Now, I'll go on. Let me tell you something. So I promised to be a good boy after that, and I was, and I took it real easy. And I'm going down the road, and I start just looking at the motorcycle instead of the feel and the ride. I was looking at the machine itself. And I was checking it out. There was a lot of updates from the bike that I used to have. It was really nice. And a thought occurred to me. And as it did, a tear came to my eye. And I thought to myself, this machine was my God? And I mean, I'm turning around and heading back to the church, and she doesn't know what's going on. Tears are streaming down my face, and I am saying, this is nothing compared to my God.
Amen. Amen.
And we're talking about worshiping the Lord this morning. And what I want to say about that is this right here. Listen, I didn't, old days, I didn't pull my motorcycle into the garage and turn it off and get down. And I didn't worship it. I didn't do it like that. But it was the center of my attention.
Right. Amen.
Amen. It was the center of my affection.
Right.
Amen. It was the center of my association. I hung around others that were just like me. Amen. That's how I got a motorcycle. It was the center of all my activity for 15 years. Yeah, I didn't bow down before it, but I'll tell you what, that's what worship is. Listen, whatever's the center of your attention and your affection and your association and your activity, that's what Paul's talking about. That's what Paul's calling idolatry.
Amen.
We do well to do a checkup on a regular basis.
Amen.
To make sure that the right thing, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, is what's at the center of our attention and affection.
Amen.
Listen, it's okay to like other things. It's okay to enjoy other things. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's all about Him.
Amen.
It says over there in Exodus chapter 34, that for thou shalt worship, that's what we're talking about this morning, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, capital J, is a jealous God. Worshiping the Lord this morning. We need to learn to worship the Lord for what He's done. Look down in verse 24. We're right there in Acts 17. Worship the Lord for what He's done. Let's begin reading in the verse that says, God that made the world and all things therein. How about that right there? How about that's what He's done? He made everything. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says everything was made by Him and for His pleasure. Amen. That's what He's done. It says in Colossians 1 and 17, He is before all things and by Him all things consist.
Amen.
I looked the word all up, and it means all.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'll tell you what, I'm glad God gave us the Bible in a way that we can understand it. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar to understand what the Bible says. It says, by Him all things consist. I was on the street one time preaching and passing out tracts somewhere, New York probably, and I said, can I give you something about what the Lord done for me? He says, what's the Lord ever done for me? one of the hymns that we sang this morning, He lend us breath. That's what He does.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you what, that's what I told a guy. I said, take a breath, dummy.
Amen.
Yeah, what's the Lord, what's God ever done for me? Listen, man, he doesn't owe you the breath we're breathing right
Amen.
Now. Maybe situation could be better, but I tell you what, I could give you a list right now. People I'm praying for that are in a lot worse shape than us, they can't even be in church this morning somewhere. Lord's been good. We need to worship the Lord for what he's done. I was out west one time, and I was going to preach that night, and the preacher said, Brother Spurgeon, stand up and tell the church everything the Lord's done for you in about 3 minutes. It's one of them churches where they got the service divided up by minutes. Amen. That doesn't work for guys like me. Amen. You'll find that out today, probably. I stood up and I said, I couldn't tell you everything the Lord's done for me since I woke up this morning in 3 minutes. God is good.
God is
so good, man.
Amen.
Let me tell you some of the things he's done. It says in Micah 7, it says he will turn again and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. I like all that stuff. And then he throws in things like this, and thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I like that, because you know what? I don't care. They can go to Mars, they can go to Pluto, but I'll tell you where they can't go. They can't go to the bottom of the ocean. Oh yeah, they pretend they know how deep the ocean. They try, some multi-billionaire will invent a little submarine, and it'll get down there a couple miles, and then mysteriously, you know, the little airline snaps every time. Yeah, it isn't an accident. God put something down there he don't want anybody to be able to get to, including the devil. Listen, my sins were many. I'm glad they're in the depths of the sea. Are you saved this morning?
Thank you, Lord.
That's what he's done, man. That's how far. As a matter of fact, Psalm 103, in verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. That's interesting, because if you're from right here from San Antonio, if you started heading north, it'd take you a while, but eventually you'd go right over the North Pole, and guess what? You'd be heading south. And you could head south all over the other side of the world, and sooner or later you'd go under the South Pole, and you'd be heading north. North and south catch up with each other. But I'll tell you what, from right here where we're standing, you could head west, and you can head west till the Lord comes back. I believe that the way the Word of God is phrased is inspired. I think God knows that going. That's how far He's put His sins from you. They'll never catch up to you. You'll never catch up to them. It says in Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption.
Amen.
Are you saved? That's what it did. What He did.
Amen.
For thou hast cast all my sins
Amen.
Behind thy back. I like that. God has cast all our sins behind his back. I heard a story about two little boys, and they were good friends in school, and they went to two different churches, and one of them taught and preached and believed that book, and the other one didn't. Amen. And they weren't doctrinally sound. They're both good kids. They're both full of nice people. But the one kid kept trying to get, well, they kept trying to get each other to go to church with them. And so finally they made a deal. All right, you go to church with me next Sunday, and I'll go to church with you the following Sunday. So the kid went from the doctrinally sound church. He had his little buddy come to church with him. The preacher preached and preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and preached about what God did when he forgave our sins.
Amen.
And he said that right there. He quoted that verse and said that God has cast all our sins behind his back. And when he went back to his church the next week, his preacher wasn't happy that he had gone to this church. And he says, yeah, what did they tell you over there? They're trying to, you know, confuse him, steal him. And the kid said, well, that pastor over there said God cast all my sins behind his back when he saved me. And that pastor, critical, skeptical guy, he says, oh yeah, cast all your sin behind his back, huh? What if God was to turn around? And this little kid, you know, 11, 12-year-old kid, you got no better sense than to look at his pastor and say, well, if God cast all his sins behind his back, when he turned around, his back still behind him. I'm going to tell you what, that's how simple it is.
Yeah, right.
Amen. That's what God did. People are all trying to figure out ways to find fault with the Bible. Listen, that's not where the fault is.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you're saved, your sins are in the depths of the sea, and your sins are as far as from the east as from the west. And if you're saved here today, your sins are cast behind God's back. I'm going to tell you what he says about them over there in Hebrews 10. He said, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more."
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, sir.
I like that. I wish I didn't remember them anymore.
Yes.
Amen. I wish I could close my eyes when I pray. Sometimes I can't. Just like brother said this morning, it's amazing, it's sickening, it's sad, the things that have come to mind at the worst possible time. That's just how it is. That part of the curse, that's how it is. That day's going to come where it won't be that way.
I'm glad
when I won't remember my sin. Listen, I'll tell you something else. Other people remember your sin. Yeah, other people will. Amen. You can be doing pretty good. You can do good for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And there's people that will still be skeptical because they're going to remember how you were. That's just how it is. No use grieving about that too long. I heard a lady say one time, year in and year out, every prayer meeting I pray for my brother. I'm trying to win my brother. And he just won't get saved. He knows me. And preacher said, "Why don't you quit? Why don't you ask God to send somebody else to your brother, and you go win somebody you can win?"
Amen.
I'll tell you what. This one guy had to go before his pastor for marriage counseling, and him and his wife weren't getting along, and finally got him in the office together. And the preacher opens the Bible, and he's trying to help him. And the guy says, "Well, the problem, preacher, is every time we get in a little disagreement, my wife gets historical." And the pastor said, no, you mean hysterical. And he said, "No, she gets historical. She starts bringing up everything I ever did." I'm glad God doesn't get historical. I'm glad that. But we're talking about worshiping God for what he's done.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Let me give you a verse in Deuteronomy 6. In verse number 12, it says this, "Then beware..." It's a warning. Amen. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I tell you what, it would do well for us to get in the habit of worshiping the Lord for what he's done.
Amen.
Let him know we haven't forgotten.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Some of us, man, we get brought up all out of an horrible pit and out of miry clay, get our feet set upon a rock, and God established our going, get a new song put in our mouth, even praise unto our God, and we clean up pretty good. Our language gets cleaned up. Our appearance gets cleaned up. Amen. And then next thing you know, we get a little Bible in us, and we start thinking we had way more to do with it than we did.
Amen.
And I'll tell you how that manifests itself. Look over, not right now, but sometime read over there, Luke chapter 18. Two guys going into church side by side. One of them bragging on himself, but I tell you what, where the rubber meets the road. Or as this
Amen.
Other.
Amen.
That's where we are if we're not careful. That's why it's important for us to remember that any good thing comes out of any of us. Grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. He's worthy of that because it's true. Amen. He's worthy of our worship this morning for what he's done. He's worthy of our worship, though. Let's go back to verse 24. Verse 24, and we're in Acts 17. What he's done, it says, "For God that made the world and all things therein." That's what he's done. But you keep reading and you see this right there. It says, "Seeing that he is the Lord." Amen. "He is the Lord of heaven and in earth." That's who he is. Amen. We need to worship him for who he is. He's the Lord. Amen. Listen, I get in places where I hear people say so many times, let's just worship the Lord and praise the Lord, and God's so good and God is good. But I'm going to tell you what, he's worthy of our worship, whether you understand what he's doing or not. If the only time you'll ever worship the Lord, praise the Lord, bring up the Lord's name, is when something good's going on, then what are you going to do when things get out of control, and they do? What are you going to do when somebody, a kid, amen, goes off the deep end? Is God not good then too? We still have a God that it says in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Tell you what, if you only worship God when good things are happening, and brother brought it up this morning, there's a crowd, that's their testimony. That's why they come at the part at the seams when the cares of this life. Well, that's just part of this life. But when things come in, boy, they come apart. If you're not careful, you can just get in the habit of worshiping God for how good He's been, and you'll fail to remember that He's worthy of our worship for who He is. He is the Lord. I said that to say this. Now, I got saved in jail, and I did what the Bible said. I got saved in a jail cell. As me and God. No angel came, no fireworks. Amen. None of that. By faith, I just confess what me and God already knew. And God knows the same thing about you. If you're in here and you're not saved, I got news for you. You're a sinner. You know it. I got to tell you, God knows it too. All He wants you to do is admit it to Him.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I did that. And I did that. And by faith, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. And the Bible said He died for our sin according to the Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. It's in the Bible. I said, well, if He did that, for me, it'd probably be a smart thing to get in on it. Like I say, that's why we like preaching in prisons. We don't have to spend an hour convincing them they're sinners so we can get them saved. It's church people you got to convince them they're sinners before you can get them saved. Amen. And I got saved and things started happening and I made bond and I got out and I started going to church and eventually I got federal probation, and God just done miracle after miracle, but I got news for you. When I bowed my heart to God, it's because I knew I was a hell-deserving sinner, and by faith I trusted what He did, and He saved me, and I didn't expect to ever get out of jail the rest of my life, and if I wouldn't have, that would have been okay. God would have still been good, because I got saved so I could go to heaven. In other words, if He never answered another prayer for me after that morning of November 30th, 1990, He'd still be great God. He'd still be worthy of my worship. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's the Lord. We need to worship Him for who He is. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith,
Amen.
Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising
Amen.
The shame,
Amen.
And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Excuse me. It says over there in Isaiah chapter number 9, for unto us a child is born. We just got past the child is born season. Yeah, I mean, everybody gets real aware of Jesus, baby Jesus in the manger. You know, there's a time where that didn't bother anybody. You know, because a baby Jesus in a manger is not much of a threat. A dead Jesus hanging on a cross is not much of a threat. People didn't mind that so much. But I'll tell you what, He's not in a manger and He's not on a cross. He's alive, alive and well. Amen. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him, amen, should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
He's the Lord, man. He's the Lord that created everything and cared about it. It says in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of Him? And I tell you what, He cared about you and me enough that He made a way for... I tell you what, we had a problem we couldn't fix.
Lord.
And He made a way for it to be fixed. It says in Revelation 1 and verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending,
Amen.
Saith the Lord, which is and which was, and my favorite part, which is to come, and He's coming.
Amen.
And then the verse ends with these words, the Almighty. That's who He is.
Amen.
He's the Almighty.
Amen.
You know, we have a perverted saying in the American language, the English language, called the Almighty Buck. Yeah, you've heard it. The Almighty Buck. I'll tell you what, I think God got tired of hearing that a couple years ago. He didn't have much trouble at all putting a pin in that balloon. And listen to it. He's the Almighty. That's who He is.
Amen.
Hey, it's good to worship God for what He's done. He's been better to us than we deserve.
Yes,
no matter what. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to remember who He is. He's the Lord. Let me give you a verse and we'll move on. It says in Revelation 17 and 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. We know that. We're familiar with that. Praise the Lord, it is. But the next part of the verse, it ends with this right here. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. But I got thinking about that. It says, he's the Lord of lords and a king of kings. But it says, and they that are with him. Let me ask you this morning. Are you with him?
Amen.
Are you with him? Here's what I mean. Our confidence is in the fact that it says over here in Hebrews chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. We got that in writing. He'll never leave. Praise the Lord. But shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be true that we're with him? Amen. Let me ask them, are you? Here's what I mean. I'm not asking if you're saved. Are you with him? In other words, I'm not asking if he's your Savior, but is he your Lord? I mean, like on Monday.
Amen.
You know, at school, at work. Amen. In your house, is he your Lord that day? Praise the Lord, we come here, worship service, worship the Lord. Well, he's the Lord, no matter what you do, but I'm asking you. Are you with him? Are you his? Amen. I mean, is he on the throne? Amen. Who's really calling the shots? God? Amen. I get direct. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You follow me?
Right.
We can move on if enough people nod their head right now. Nod your head. Okay, that was enough. You need to worship God for what he's done. Amen?
Amen.
You need to worship God for who he is. And last of all, that usually will get an amen if nothing else does. Last fall. Little Patterson gets here. You are, buckle up. I know Jack real well. Amen. It says, you need to worship the Lord for what he will do.
Amen.
Yeah, verse 27. Acts 17, verse 27. It says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. We need to worship the Lord for what he will do. It says in John chapter 12 and verse 32, it says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Lord's not done. Lord's still in the saving business. Amen. Lord, hey, we ought to learn to worship God for what he will do. Amen. There's folks out there, you know folks that need to be saved. I know folks that need to be saved. I was in Florida the other day visiting an old Marine vet that went home. World War II vet went on to be at the Lord last Tuesday. His daughter was telling me that took that book I wrote and gave it to a correction officer at a prison. He was a Harley guy. And said, get him the gospel. That's what's in there. And he got done reading that book. He looked at that. He said, I got to find out if this is real. And he made it into a little church. And he says, I come here for one thing. I need to know if the God that this guy talked about is real. And the guy said, you come to the right place. You open the King James Bible, led the guy to God. Amen. We had another guy up in Amarillo. Amen. A preacher friend gave him a book. Guy died of cancer. Preacher never talked to him again. But his wife called him. They didn't have any religion in their life. And this guy's wife called my pastor friend and asked him if he'd do the funeral. And here he is. He doesn't know much about the guy. And his wife said, you know that book? You know that book you gave my husband? He said, yeah. He said, well, when he got to the end, he did what that guy did. He prayed and asked Christ to save him. It's easier to preach a funeral when a guy's in heaven. Listen, I was out in Las Vegas earlier this year. No, last year, I wasn't raising support. You know what I mean? I was out there preaching, I promise. We was in about the third or fourth night of revival, and a girl come into the church, man, I'll tell you what, talk about a fish out of water. This girl, she belonged to a street gang. They had been busted. They had gotten scattered. Her boyfriend's in jail. And she shows up at grandma's house. And she says, I need a place to stay. This girl's got razor slices up and down her arms and her leg, tattoos on her. She's a mess. Amen. She's hard. She's tough. She scared most people in the church. Amen. They're praying, oh, God, keep the devil out of here. And I look over at this girl. She's 18 years old. And I just looked at her. They were nervous, man. This girl, she was defiant. And I looked at her, you know what I saw? I saw somebody's daughter. I got four daughters, man. I said, that's just somebody's little girl. I got up, this girl, I mean, I won't even go into how she's dressed. That girl, man, I asked, is anybody in there? Head bowed, eyes closed. You know, everybody bowed their head, not her, though. She's staring me down. Well, that ain't going to work. But she'd give me dirty looks, and I said, anybody in here, if you died today, do you know that you'd go to hell? You never trusted Christ. However, I was probably more eloquent than that, knowing me, you know. But this girl, man, she just defiantly looked at me, and she raised her hand. And she didn't budge. She was going to hell. She wanted me to know about it. She was happy about it. I thought, my goodness. Sat down. I got done. I sat down. I had a little platform. I just sat there. Everybody left, and my wife talking to Grandma. Grandma said, yeah, you can stay at the house tonight, but we're having a revival, and you got to come to church with me. That's why she was there. And finally, this girl comes strutting up the aisle. I mean, like she's ready to pick a fight. And I'm watching her come, you know, and I got my Bible open. She goes, can I talk to you? I said, sure, sit down. I'll tell you what, within 30 minutes, I was talking to that girl, and I got her background, and she had a pretty rough background. She got my background. I had a pretty rough background, too. We started to connect. Next thing you know, my wife looks down there, and we're talking and laughing. And about three times, I opened the Bible, and I said, look what the Bible says. Can you believe this, man? This is for people like us. And she's like, oh, wow. And before I was over, I said, you know, Tina, you need to get saved. That life, you've seen more death than some people I know 60 years old. That life that you're living is going to cost you here and in eternity. She goes, well, said something like what I said. If the Bible's true, that's right. The Bible is true. I said, well, you need to get saved. I said, you know, she goes, yeah, you're probably right. And she left. And I tell you what, I never thought I'd see her again. I figured the devil's going to kill her tonight. I thought she was that close, but I'm not a salesman. That's right. Amen. I mean, I guilt trip people into praying. Especially these little kids, man. A preacher my size can't scare a little kid into praying a prayer. Something's wrong with him. That ain't Bible salvation. It's got to be the Lord. The Lord's the only one who can save anybody. The Lord's the only one who died for anybody's sin. Next night, I called preacher friends of mine. I said, you got to pray for this girl. I am confident that the devil will try to kill her before she ever gets near a church or a Christian again. She don't need a church, but she needs the Lord. And the next night, I'm getting ready to go out and preach. My wife went out of the motorhome first. She said, there's somebody out here to see you. It's that girl. And, boy, I opened the door, and she looked different. She had cleaned up her act as much as she could. Amen. Sure did. Her hair was combed. Mostly what had changed was her countenance. You know, it was more, you know. And she goes, Mr. Spurgeon, I said, yeah, Tina. She goes, can I get saved right now? I went, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. And right there before that service, man, I opened the Bible and led that girl to Christ. I believe God can still save people like that. I just believe God can save anybody that'll let them. Amen. I got people that I care about. And you know what I know? You do too, don't you? Amen. We need to worship God for what He's done, because let's face it, look at us. Would we even be in this room this morning together if it wasn't for the grace of God? Amen. But we need to worship God for who He is. The Lord Jesus Christ is just that. He's the Lord of glory. But I'll tell you something, man, I don't know. Some people get down and depressed by the state of the world and all that. I understand all that, but listen, God's still in the saving business, and man, He's left us here to do something about it. I can't help what everybody else is doing, but I can help what I'm doing. And I want to do something because He deserves it. Besides, that just enables Him to do great. It says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I like that. I've seen God do great and mighty things. It's really cool. Yeah. Nobody get any credit but Him. Amen. Worshiping God for what He will do. I'm going to tell you what He will do. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you how good God is. Not only will He save us, He'll put up with us. Long suffering, I think we heard about today. And what He will do, if you come to Him repentant, you come to Him and you ask Him, He'll forgive you. Bible says, just man falls seven times, rise up again. I'm glad I got a God that never fails. And when I do, I can go to Him, and He'll let me get back up, get back in the fight. That's a God I can love. That's a God I can serve. Amen. If it depended on me being perfect, well, I wouldn't be here this morning. Neither would you.
Right.
Amen. But we've got a God that's perfect.
Amen.
So how do you get right with God? Same way you get saved in the first place. Get honest, man.
Amen.
Get honest with God.
Amen.
Quit playing games. Quit trying to fool yourself. Quit trying to fool other people. Amen. Just get honest with God. It feels good to be right with God.
Amen.
It feels good to have fellowship restored with God. Church, this side, if there's somebody in here, you need to do business with God. This would be the day to do it.
Amen.
The Bible says in Mark 4, Satan cometh immediately to steal the words, man. And it's not something to put off. It's don't wait till you get the CD player. Don't wait till the kids start screaming. Don't wait till your wife or your husband starts, where are we going to eat? If you need to take care of something with the Lord, man, what a way to, this is the first day of the week. The rest of the week will be better if you do business with God now, if that's what's needed.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you what, worship Him for what He will do. The Bible says every knee will bow. One day everybody's going to.
Amen.
Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till they're like the rich man over Luke 16. The first thing that came out of his mouth was have mercy. He didn't get it. He lifted up his eyes in hell. I called out for mercy in a jail cell. Guess what? I got it. If you're in here today and you've never been saved, this would be a great day to get saved. This would be a great place to get saved. It would be a great time to become a child of God. Amen. Worshiping the Lord this morning. Let's all stand for a moment. I don't know who's going to come.